This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Olympics are supposed to be about unity, pride, and national identity. But this week in Italy, several US athletes have stepped into a much bigger conversation, publicly questioning the political climate back home while still competing under the American flag. So, what does it mean when athletes speak out at the Games, and why does it feel different this time?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
When we see athletes like Michaela Schifrin speaking out about inclusivity and values while representing the US, what's really happening in moments like these?
Well, it depends on whose perspective you're looking at this from. So some people will interpret athletes being there as being employees of the US government. And that seems like a rather extreme way to think about it, except that the same as in Australia, the government, taxpayers, are paying for you to be there. Now, does that mean that then you have to toe the party line? And that's where this has become quite controversial, because from the second the Americans arrived in Italy, there's been controversy about them being there. The idea that ICE were providing some level of security was controversial. The fact that Russia's not allowed to participate, but America is causing consternation. So when athletes have spoken, and they've been asked, it's not just they've just randomly said stuff, when they've been asked about certain controversial US politics and policies, and they've said some stuff that's been viewed as anti-American, or at least anti-American government, it's caused controversy from some people who think that, kind of that phrase, shut up and dribble, that they've said to basketballers in the past, that they're just supposed to play sport.
The Olympics have long been framed as being above politics. Has that ever truly been the case, though? I mean, or is the tension built into the event itself?
Well, you're bringing together most of the countries in the world, many who have hostile relationships with one another. So you're basically trying to tell them play nice while in the background, there's lots of awful things happening around the world. And that's not just, you know, me saying other countries are bad. It's not like Australia hasn't also had its own share of various human rights breaches, and therefore every time you have people representing their country, that idea of whether that means they have to represent everything their country stands for at this very moment. And that's why there's always been this controversy. Well, how can we ban, let's say, Russia as a country competing when not every Russian agrees with Russian policies? And it's the same thing with the US. Well, why would we expect every American athlete to be endorsing American politics? It seems peculiar. And yet basically the vice president said that athletes should not be popping off, in his phrase, about politics. They should stick to the sport.
We've seen President Trump also publicly criticise one of these athletes. How does political pushback change the dynamic for competitors on a global stage? I mean, that's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
It's a lot of pressure. I think, though, we have to also consider that a lot of these athletes have already branded themselves on social media. And by that, I mean they've had profiles probably since their college days, if not earlier, where they've been putting out content that signifies their own values. So I think, in fact, a lot of them, that would be in line with their expectations of their fans, that this is their values, and therefore they're taking them on a very public stage. Because this is, again, goes back to a lot of criticism that used to hound someone like Taylor Swift, for example. When she became, in the earliest years of her career, super popular, there was criticism from her fan base. You have all this fame, and yet you're not doing anything with it. Why aren't you standing up for important issues? She's become more political over the years, but you can see that this is one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't. Fans want people to use their stage and their platform to say stuff, but there is a big cost to doing so.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne. We're talking about US Olympic athletes speaking out about politics while competing in Italy. Lauren, a couple of messages. Mark in Fitzroy says they're human beings, not robots. Of course, they can have opinions. What do you reckon?
Yes, of course, I agree with that. But if you think about certain professions, for example, public servants in Australia, so people who work for the government, we wouldn't tolerate this. Not you and I, but in the sense their employer, they can't be in a position of working for the, I don't know, Department of Human Services and also taking political stances. It would be different if they were using their social media accounts that were private and not linked to their job. But these athletes are actually working while they're saying this. Don't get me wrong, this is not me endorsing, criticizing them, because I obviously agree with their sentiments. But it's that very fine line between what are the expectations when your salary is being paid for by the government that you're speaking out against. Would we, for example, in... you worked for Pepsi or Coke, for example, and were criticizing the product, how long do you think you'd keep your job for while you were wearing the Pepsi or Coke outfit? And this is, I think, just it raises some interesting issues, because we don't want to think of, I think we kind of like the idea of athletes are there because of their love of the game or the sport, which is true. But they're also paid for it. And we pay for it, particularly in Australia. I mean, the Australian Institute of Sport is paid for by us. So do we then expect certain things from these athletes while they're on our dime, if you like?
What if the athlete is sponsored by one of the big companies like Pepsi or something like that? Does that then change the, I suppose, the license to be able to say what they want to say if they've got that extra backing?
The issue is going to be that they're wearing a uniform that brands them, if you like, as being employees or Team USA. Now, obviously, that's different if in games or in sports like tennis, for example, where it's very individual. Yes, you've got a flag next to your name on the scoreboard, but you're basically playing for yourself and your sponsor is paying for you. Now, your sponsors might drop you in that context if you say things that conflict with their brands. That's a little different from the context of being part of a team, which is what's happening in Italy at the moment, where an entire US team has gone together.
Julian Werribee says, I tune into sport to escape politics. Keep it separate, please.
Yeah, but see, I have no interest in sports, so there's no way that I would have paid 1 ounce of attention to the Winter Games if it wasn't for, you know, the scandals about the, you know, Norwegian cheating on his girlfriend and all this. This is the only entry point for me, Warren. Otherwise, this is of no... except that weird event where the two people lie on top of each other and go down the slippery dip. Outside of that, I don't understand what's going on.
Mia in Northcote says they're brave. It takes guts to speak up on that stage. And that's a point, isn't it? Because what happens when they go back home and Donald Trump has criticised them and is aware that they've said something bad?
I think it's a complicated thing, because on one hand, lots of people would wear it as a badge of honour that Donald Trump has called you out. Because remember, more than half the country do not support what he's doing at the moment. Mm. So this idea, his popularity is it's at one of the lowest points in his presidencies. So that idea of being called out for by him, I could imagine if it was me, for example, and Donald Trump was tweeting about me, or truthing about me, I'd feel quite flattered that he's bothering to criticize me. But I would also have to recognize, though, that the downside of that is his people come after you. And that's where things like doxing and ruining your life and threats happen, which isn't, you know, as much as it might on one hand, yeah, I'm glad I made him upset kind of thing. The other hand is his supporter group can make your life a complete misery. And that's the downside of this, because it's a really polarized but also hostile time in American politics at the moment.
Do we treat athletes differently depending on what side of politics they appear to lean towards, Lauren?
Look, I think we treat anybody at the moment who has politics that are opposite to where our stance is. So think about, for example, certain actors that have aligned themselves with Donald Trump, certain singers that have aligned themselves with Donald Trump. They get a certain air about them. And what I mean by air is that suddenly MAGA supporters love them. You know, who would have thought that MAGA would have been so interested in Kid Rock all of a sudden? Yet, because Kid Rock has pinned his allegiance to Donald Trump. They love Kid Rock now. But when people come out against Donald Trump, it's then you see a whole lot of other people who feel like they've been brave to speak out at this time, and that solidifies their base as well. But it's a cost to both parties, because I know myself, as much as I try and separate politics from art, sometimes I'll have a favorite artist who'll say something and I can't forget that they've said it, and it does impact my enjoyment of their cultural output.
Greg in Camberwell says, sport has always been political. We just pretend it's not.
Well, I think the second that you'd say that someone's representing a country, it makes it complicated. Representing yourself means that you get to have your values, you as an individual. The second you're wearing a shared uniform, there's a feeling like you're representing that nation. And that might be an innocuous thing a lot of the time, yet there'll be times like right now in the United States where wearing that uniform, which is exactly what some of the athletes have said, it makes them have a mixed bag of emotions, because on one hand there's pride, of course, but there is also feeling like, I do not support everything this government is doing right now.
I haven't been following the medal tally, but I wonder if there's a Trump effect on the athletes in terms of how their performance is, because I imagine that if you're, and this is assuming that, you know, several or most of the contingent are conflicted with what's going on back home, I imagine that would zap a bit of your energy. You know, you're trying to go for a country that you want to be proud of, but you're not happy with what's going on at home. I mean, do you think there'd be a bit of a cost to that?
Absolutely, which is why yesterday at one of the press conferences, I think it had to do with hockey, but I might be mistaken on the sport, but they were said up front, whoever was their sort of communications person said, we're only answering questions about sport. And they therefore offset, because we've got to remember, this is not just athletes voluntarily talking about politics. They are being asked about politics, because at the moment we get this kind of weird idea when you know, particularly Americans themselves, American news tends to cover America disproportionately, and the views of the rest of the world are largely sidelined. So when Americans are on the global stage, suddenly they become aware that there is actual fury at them. Part of the reason when J.D. Vance turned up at the opening ceremony and was booed so loudly, and you could see he was disconcerted, because when you're at home, you've got this idea, you're rather cloistered from that. Then you realise the rest of the world actually are a little angry with you at the moment.
Do you reckon, like, social media has clearly amplified this moment? How much does today's digital environment encourage athletes to speak, or does it make it harder for them not to speak?
Yeah, look, I think it gives them direct contact with their fans, which I think has good and bad things, sort of good and bad elements. On one hand, it's very much about, you know, support and cheering people on. It's reminding me of just in the advance of the Sydney Olympics when people were sending herograms to their favourite athletes, and that's very much just framed as a positive. Now flash forward in the internet age where you can just send your own herogram or death threat from the comfort of your own home to an athlete. And so therefore, I think it's complicated. It can be positive, but lots of celebrities, not just athletes, have spoken about having to completely cut themselves off of social media. There's an athlete that I remember, Ilona, I think it's Ma, her surname is, she's spoken about the sheer amount of body hate. She's quite muscular, and the sheer volume of things that people have written to her on social media, and how you have to do some psychological tricks to not let it affect you, because it's so upsetting.
Lauren, I was just thinking about that booing during the opening ceremony, but then there was still warm applause for the athletes. What does that tell us about how global audiences distinguish between governments and the people?
Yeah. Look, I think most people have that acknowledgement. It's kind of like when you meet an American on the street. You can't assume that they're a Trump supporter, right? You have to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think it's the same there, where you're having... Well, this is it. You've got to ask them a couple of questions. And first of all, I guess if they're wearing the red hat, it's the kind of giveaway. Mm. But generally speaking, you assume that things are okay until they say some things that might give you a, you know, a little bit of a jump scare. And I think it's the same thing around the world. Everyone understands no country in the world is supported, that no government in the world is supported by the population as a whole. It's rare, no, unless it's a dictatorship. But even then, you're getting a false idea about popularity, aren't you? And I think that this is the case in Italy. The world is aware that these athletes, many of them who are so young they're not even eligible to vote yet, are there to represent the country. The country is more than the government of the day.
Lauren, one more question before we let you go. Do moments like this, do they shift how we see patriotism? Is patriotism changing, I guess, from loyalty to leadership or from loyalty to values? How do you see it?
Look, I've always had a big amount of problem with patriotism. It's always sat uncomfortably with me because I always see it as very much about nationalism. And nationalism for me comes at a big political cost. Now, some people will have a different interpretation. They'll be, it's just love of country and that can be seen as a positive thing. I feel that it's often bundled up with, you know, if you look at the people who are protesting in Australia, for example, on you know, the 26th of January, I'm not sure they represent my values. So I have a hesitancy about it. Mm. I think also it's often harnessed by conservative governments who are very much, if you don't love us, then leave. And you hear Donald Trump say that a lot. And that's a kind of way that you're suddenly guilt-tripped into swallowing everything a government of the day does. And I would say that dovetails with some of the crackdowns on protests in Australia at the moment, where there is this sense that if you love this country, you'll behave well, and you'll behave well according to whatever our values are today.
I'll leave you with this, Lauren. Tom in Geelong says, good on them. The Olympics are about humanity, not politics.
Well, this is arguably where it started. I'm not sure if everyone would agree on that at the moment, but certainly it's where it started.
Lauren, always good to chat with you. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Warren.
Thank you. That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.